I've got a lot of scripture tonight. So if you take notes, I would advise you just to take the highlights. But I am going to be reading a lot more scripture than normal. And I'll be honest with you, I'm still not going to cover everything there is to know about the Antichrist. I'm going to try to cover most of what we can, give us a little better understanding of the Antichrist. And let me say once again, if you've got a subject that you would like covered on a Wednesday night Bible study, please write it down and get it to me. Amen. Like I say, I'll probably incorporate Brother Chucky and some of the others to help me out with this. Amen. Because I like to be preached to and taught myself. Amen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, when you get there, let's stand in honor of God's word. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. If you're there, say amen. Amen. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for the reading of your word. Lord, as we get into your word tonight, help us, God, to just have a better understanding of what your word teaches, God. And I pray, Lord, you'd help us to apply it to our hearts, apply it to our minds, apply it to the day we're living in. Lord, help us right now as we study your word. I love you and I thank you for what you've done already. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The Bible teaches us that before Jesus comes, there's going to be a powerful ruler that will take over called the Antichrist. And most of us have heard about this. Most of us have heard about the Antichrist. You've heard it preached and we've taught it in Sunday school. But he's going to deceive millions of people. He's going to deceive nations. He's going to persecute God's people. He's going to do everything to oppose God. That's why he is called Antichrist. Now let's just look at just a few things tonight. Number one, think about this. The spirit of Antichrist is already here. The Bible tells us that before the man himself appears, before the Antichrist comes in the flesh, the spirit of Antichrist has already been here for thousands of years. Note, the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, like I say, write these down quickly because I'm going to throw them at you hard. Little children, it is the last time, as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that this is the last time. Matthew chapter 24, verse 5. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Matthew chapter 24, verse 24. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. There's going to be so many, there's going to be so much stuff thrown at the world. Understand this. And there are going to be some people that's going to come and say, I'm Christ and I'm this and I'm that. That the Bible says that had it not been for the Lord watching out for us, that the very elect would be deceived. Now, these are talking about the spirit of Antichrist. When he comes, he's going to deceive. When he comes, people just going to fall right into it. Second John chapter 1, verse 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. So just think about it. Any spirit of deception is antichrist. Any spirit of deception, anything that tries to get you to change your mind on Jesus is antichrist. Anything that tries to get you to change your attitude about Jesus is antichrist. Anything that tries to get you to change your stand about Jesus is antichrist. That's why you got to study the Bible. That's why you got to know what the Bible says, so you won't be deceived by all these things that's thrown at you. I can't tell you how many times in church over the years that we've all seen it. Somebody was in church. They were doing great. You had all kind of confidence in them. And something come along that looked good. Something come along that just struck their fancy just enough, and they fall right into it and no longer come to church. That's the spirit of Antichrist. Any spirit that denies Jesus, that denies that Jesus has come in the flesh, is Antichrist. Amen. So that spirit's already working. Just in our lifetime, I don't know how many times in my lifetime. I mean, I could probably go back and Google it and find out that since 1964, how many people has come on the scene that says I'm Christ? That come on the scene that says I'm Jesus, I'm this, and I'm that, it's amazing to me that people fall right into it. They can be easily deceived because they don't know the Word of God. If you know the Word of God, then you don't have to worry about being deceived, amen? Let's look at number two. The Antichrist is going to come from world chaos. Now, global turmoil and political chaos, we think we're in a bad time now. And listen, we're living in the last days. But right now, things are still pretty structured. Right now, things are still pretty, you got everything kind of set in order, and we don't know what it's going to be next week. But the Antichrist is going to rise from global turmoil. In other words, the global economy just about is going to fall. I'll get into some of that in a little bit. But Daniel chapter 7 verse 8 says this, I considered the horns and beheld, there came up among them another little horn. It's talking about the Antichrist. Before whom there was three of the first horns plucked up by the root. And behold, in his horn were like eyes of a man and a mouth speaking great things. Daniel chapter 7 verse 24. And the ten horns out of his kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them. And he shall be diverse from the first. And he shall subdue three kings. Revelation chapter 13 verse 1 says this. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw the beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. Upon his horns, ten crowns, and upon his head with the name of blasphemy. In other words, the Antichrist is going to rise up out of ten kings or ten nations that's going to come together. And some people thought that this might have been the European Union at one time, and some people thought, but one thing's for sure, it's going to be a revelation or a revised version of the Roman Empire. And based on Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, now these are not the 10, but these are some of the key players in what we're talking about right here. Russia is going to be one of the key players in the end time. Russia was what once called Magog. Iran is going to be one of the key players in the end time. Iran was once called Persia. If you go back to the biblical names, the Sudan was called Cush. Libya was Put. And then there was Armenia. And all this, like I said, is going to be revived from the Roman Empire. And let me tell you this, the Antichrist is going to start off small. He's not going to come on the scene as some giant. He's going to start off small, and he's going to grow. In other words, he's going to start off as a little peon in the political world, and all of a sudden, he's going to grow quickly. People are going to fall right in with him, and they're going to follow him. He'll gain influence over companies. He'll gain influence over nations. He'll gain influence over kings. And when he takes over, they're going to lay it in his lap. That's what the Antichrist is going to do. The Antichrist is going to be a master of deception. Amen. He'll appear peaceful, and he'll appear intelligent. And he's going to be intelligent, but he's going to appear peaceful, and then he's going to turn. But this is pure evil. Now, let me ask you, a little side note right here. Now, some of y'all younger ones ain't going to know what I'm talking about. Now, some of y'all older ones, don't get all holy on me and don't raise your hand. How many of y'all remember watching the movie The Omen? How many of y'all, if you remember the old movie The Omen, raise your hand. I watched that movie, it scared me to death. It was about the Antichrist. It was about this young boy that was born and that had the mark of the beast on him, and he was pure evil. And I'm not saying that's how it's going to be. But he was pure evil from the beginning. Pure deception from the beginning. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 8, and let me just say this, to study the Antichrist and to study the end times, or eschatology is the big word they like to throw at you in college, to study all that, you got to go to the Old Testament and the New Testament. So in Daniel chapter 8, verse 23 through 25, and in the latter times of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also he shall cause craft, witchcraft, to prosper in his hand. He shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. Did you hear that? And by peace destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10 says this, even him whose coming is after the work of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Revelation chapter 13, verse 13 and 14 says this, he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. In other words, now he's going to perform false miracles. I'll give you a little side note. I didn't put this in here because I was studying the Antichrist. In the end time, there's going to be an unholy trinity. We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. In the end times, you got the beast, the Antichrist, and Satan. They all work as one. So everything God does, everything Jesus does, is his very best to mock it, to redo it. So he gets the power. But in the end time, he's going to perform miracles. Revelation chapter 13, verse 13 says this, and I saw one of the heads as it were a wound to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. In other words, this Antichrist is going to stand up. He's going to have a deadly head where he's going to die, and he's going to be brought back to life. Now, as I was studying this today, and then I had a little chance to ride my lawnmower a little bit, and I do a lot of thinking when I'm riding my lawnmower, I thought about, this could be, I believe it's going to be a real miracle. But with the way AI is now, we don't know what's going to happen. You can't believe nothing you see. I'm just being honest. You don't know if they're telling the truth. You don't know if the news is telling the truth. You don't know what's out there. Deceiving. Working and deceiving. But he'll be able to perform miracles. He's gonna call fire down from heaven. And now listen, unless you know and you are grounded in the Bible like we are, and I'm praying that it's my belief that when all this takes place, the church will be raptured out. There's some people, and I ain't got time to really get into the beliefs of the rapture. Some people believe that the church is going to have to go through half the tribulation. I'm not going to argue the point. Hey, I'm just going to say I'm going to be ready when he comes, glory to God, and I'm leaving when he comes. Amen. But unless you're rooted and grounded and know your Bible, if somebody comes out there, Dale, and calls fire down from heaven, most everybody's going to fall right in. This has got to be God. If he gets shot in the head or has a deadly wound and they bring him back to life, this has got to be God. What they don't understand is all this has already happened. If you study your Bible, all this has already happened. Jesus has done all this. Amen. Amen? The real Christ, the real Messiah, has already done all this. But he's going to be able to do false miracles. He's going to deceive nations. Now, what blows my mind, he's going to deceive Israel. And Israel don't trust nobody. I don't even believe Israel don't even trust Israel. But he's going to deceive them. He's going to look peaceful. He's going to be a peaceful. That's why the Bible says in the end time they'll be crying, peace, peace. Jesus said, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. But he's going to start out as a man of peace. Now, I'm going to throw a little side note at you right here. I've always been taught through the years and read through the years, and I'll read you the scripture, that the Antichrist was going to be homosexual. And there's scripture to back it up. Daniel chapter 11, verse 36 and 37 says this, "And the king shall do according to his will. He shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god." That's talking about the Antichrist. "And shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that is determined shall be done." Now listen, verse 37, "Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of woman, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all." A lot of people take that passage of scripture right there and say that the Antichrist is homosexual. Well, let me just go ahead and throw this at you. I never thought about this until studying this. It might just be that this person is going to come on the scene talking about peace, talking about tranquility, and he might just tell everybody, "Listen, I don't even want to get married. I'm going to be celibate. I'm not going to do any of that. I'm focusing myself on doing right and deceive everybody." Many's going to follow him. And I'm just going to be honest with you, folks. There are going to be a lot of people in church that sits in church that don't know their Bible and going to follow the Antichrist. Because I'm going to be honest with you. Everybody sitting in church ain't going when the rapture takes place. Amen? Everybody sitting in church ain't saved. So, that's why I try to tell you, very, very few times do we have service that I'm not pounding it. Hey, if you got a question, if there's any question in your mind about your salvation, get on this altar, amen? Now, the Antichrist is going to make a covenant with Israel. Most believe this starts the Great Tribulation. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation. And that be determined shall pour out upon the desolation." The covenant will be for 7 years. They'll finally peace will come to the Middle East. They ain't had peace in the Middle East since God created Adam and Eve. Amen. Finally, peace is going to come to the Middle East. The whole world is going to see him as a peacemaker. But he's going to break the covenant. Halfway through the tribulation, he's going to show his true colors. Now, in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, "He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week." Each day, that's talking about years. 7 years, 1 week. "And at the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifices and oblation to cease." Daniel chapter 11, verse 31 says this, "And arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and they shall take away the daily sacrifices, and they shall place the abomination that make desolation." Matthew chapter 24, verse 15, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place." 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, "Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Number one, he declares himself to be God. When he makes this covenant with Israel, he makes this, and basically at this point, he is ruling the whole world. He makes this covenant with Israel. Halfway through, he breaks this covenant. Halfway through, and is at this point, he declares himself to be God. He's done with everybody falling in line. Now he's got enough power that he's going to rule and reign with an iron fist. And I'll get into some of that in a little bit. The abomination of desolation, talking about in Matthew chapter 24, verse 15. This refers to the Antichrist or an image of the Antichrist standing in the holy place in the temple. Now let me just stop right there, just a little side note. The temple, where the Temple Mount is right now, the Muslims control that. That's the Dome of the Rock. That's got to be torn down. There's going to be a third temple built in that place, but he is going to make himself to be God. He'll stop the daily sacrifices and the offerings that they will be doing there. We all know from studying, we all know from watching the news, they've already got the red heifers in place, the priest already practicing. They're already going through the motions. They've already done a trial or a mock run of how to do all the, to go back to doing it the way the Old Testament, to do all the sacrifices. All this has got to be in place. But the Antichrist is going to say, oh, that's all. You're going to worship me now. This event parallels something that's already happened. In 167 BC, Antius Epiphanes did this in the temple. He erected an altar to Zeus and sacrificed a pig in the temple of God. All this has already happened, and Satan's going to do it again. He's going to persecute God's people. Now listen, there's going to be people left on the earth. I believe that either in the start of the tribulation, or maybe some people, like I say, some people believe halfway through the tribulation, the church is going to be called out. There's still going to be people on this earth. Amen. They're still trying to do right. If the Jews hadn't fallen in by then, there are going to be Jews that's going to do their trying to do their very best to follow God. But the Antichrist is going to persecute these people during this tribulation. Daniel chapter 7, verse 21, and I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. He's going to look like he's winning. And prevailed against him. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at the time thy people shall be delivered, every one of them shall be found written in the book. Revelation chapter 13, verse 7 says this. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Revelation chapter 12, verse 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. This is war against the saints. This is when the mark of the beast comes in. The mark of the beast in Revelation chapter 13. Most of us know this scripture. And he calls us all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save that he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. This is war with the saints. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4 says this, and I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw, and listen, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Christ Jesus and for the word of God, and which did not worship the beast, neither his image, neither and had received a mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. If you don't take the mark of the beast, you'll be beheaded. I remember watching a movie. One of them, it was back in the 70s. I can't remember the name. It was about the rapture. And they had these here people that they were claiming to be Christians. And they had a guillotine set up. And they were walking them up, Chuck, and they were putting them in the guillotine. And they were basically telling them, do you deny Jesus Christ? And if they said no, they cut their head off. Can you imagine standing in line? Blood everywhere. And you're walking up and you're next. And in this movie, at that time, they laid this young lady down and they were looking up at the guillotine. And all of a sudden, an earthquake hit. Everybody started running, but she was tied down on this guillotine. She started screaming. And this is what she was saying. I deny Jesus. I deny Jesus. Get me up. I'm sorry. I'll worship the beast. And all of a sudden it fell. And I thought, she went straight to hell. Amen. But you'll be beheaded if you don't worship. This is war with the saints. Let me tell you something, folks. I don't know everything that's going to happen. But I know one thing. I'm leaving when Jesus calls. Amen. I ain't going through that. Amen. I'm leaving when he calls. The Antichrist, hallelujah, finally a good point. The Antichrist will be destroyed by Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 7, verse 26, but the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. Daniel chapter 11 verse 45 says this, he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain, yet he shall come into his end and none shall help him. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 8, then shall that wicked be revealed whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Get a picture of that. Jesus is coming down. Jesus is bright. Jesus is nothing but light, and light overcomes the darkness every time. Amen. And when Jesus comes in, he destroys the Antichrist. Revelation 19 verse 20 says, and the beast was taken, and him, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he had deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast into a lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. Glory to God. What we do, we call this the Battle of Armageddon. Revelation 16, verse 16 talks about this. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Now, Revelation 19 tells us what's going to happen. Verse 11 says this, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he shall tread the winepress of his fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. When the real one shows up, it's over. It's over. The Antichrist is going to rise in power. The Antichrist is going to be the most powerful human being to ever live besides Jesus. But he's going to be ruled with two others, the beast and Satan. He's going to rise in power. There ain't no stopping that. But he's going to be destroyed.
Amen.
Amen. He's going to be destroyed. Evil may rise, but evil will never win.
Amen.
God's going to make sure of that. When Jesus returns, he's going to set everything straight.
Amen.
My last verse of scripture that I want to read is this one. Revelation 17, verse 14. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Folks, listen. I believe with all my heart, when the rapture takes place and we're all called up to heaven, when Jesus sets on that white horse coming back to fight the Antichrist, guess who's coming with him?
Amen.
We are.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Anybody got any questions real quick? I hope I covered it pretty good. Amen. If you ain't got no questions, if you would, let's stand. Yeah, man, that's the whole reason Adam and Eve didn't do right. That's why we're in the shape we're in. Amen. But let's just be honest. We're in the shape we're in because we didn't do right.
Amen.
I'd like to blame it all on Adam and Eve, but I can't, because I know me.